Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gileadi here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
It's good to be back here again with you on Sunday evening.
1 week after Pentecost.
1 week after Pentecost.
Well, we're still in Pentecost mood.
We're 7 days, yeah. Now, do we count anything after Pentecost? We don't have to count anymore?
No, we don't have to count anymore.
Oh, okay.
Nah.
We just got to go out and do the stuff.
The spring feasts are all done.
Okay.
If we count, it's going to be to Rosh Hashanah, which will be sometime in September. That'll be counting a long time. You get tired of counting. Yeah, now since...
I just set a reminder on my phone.
About counting?
Yeah.
You can start counting until next Pentecost, yeah. But boy, that'll be...
No, I just set a reminder. It'll remind me, like, what if they would have had iPhones back then?
Yeah.
Well, Lord, we really don't need to count. We could just set the date in advance and it'll remind us.
That's the thing, too. Like, modern people would say, why would you have to count the days? Well, you know... They didn't have calendars hanging all over the place, and they didn't have calendars in their house or calendars in the thing. I mean, they had to count the days.
Yeah.
The only way they knew there was a new month was when the guy said, hey, the new moon, and then you knew it was a new month.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, plus in that society, I mean, the feast days obviously were kind of a rhythm to their life.
Right.
And they were God's law, so they had to be followed. But, you know, when you're an agricultural society like that, I mean, what's it really matter if it's Tuesday or Wednesday, or, you know, if it's May 20th or May 27th, or, you know, unless it happens to be one of the feast days.
Yeah.
Because the time was different. I mean, we live for like every minute, like every 10 minutes, we're doing something different.
Right, right.
But in that society, I mean, you just didn't have that.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Whole different cultural.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of when we were doing mission work in Mexico, and you'd say to somebody, can we get together tomorrow afternoon? And they'd say, yeah. And they'd say, what time? Well, in the afternoon. I go, yeah, but what time? Well, sometime tomorrow afternoon. And I would say, listen, you know, in our society, is it going to be like 2 o'clock, 2:15, 2:30, 2:45? You can't just say tomorrow afternoon. But that's because we live crazy. But last week, we talked about the actual outpouring of the Spirit that happened in that upper room. And we stopped at the point where Peter is going to start to talk, because now our friend Peter suddenly understands scripture. He's going to start explaining something.
He's going to even quote something.
Yeah, he likes me, don't worry. But, you know, we ended up at chapter 2:13 where it says, you know, oh, they've just had too much new wine. So why don't you start reading at 14?
Okay. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and proclaimed to them, you who are Jews, indeed, all of you staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. These people are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Now this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. It will come to pass in the last days, God says, that I will pour out a portion of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Indeed, upon my servants and my handmaids, I will pour out a portion of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will work wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and a cloud of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and splendid day of the Lord. And it shall be that everyone shall be saved who calls on the name of the Lord.
Woo. Yeah, let's stop there.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, so Peter's really addressing what's said in the last paragraph, is, but others said scoffingly, they've had too much new wine.
Yeah. Oh, they're drunk.
Yeah.
And then Peter stands up and starts by addressing that. Well, they're not drunk.
Yeah.
It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is one of the few times in the scripture where it tells you what time of day it was when something happened.
Yeah.
So we know Pentecost happened about 9 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when, what's his name? Andrew says it was 4:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah. It was 4 in the afternoon.
So then Peter, who, if this would have happened, you know, the day before, would have said, I don't know what's going on here. What's happening? You know, Peter pipes right up and says, this is what was prophesied by the by the prophet Joel. And then goes to explain all that thing. Now, Joel's one of the minor prophets. Peter heard readings from the prophet Joel when he was in the synagogue. Mm-hmm. Probably didn't think that much about the prophet Joel. But here he quotes. Now, he doesn't have any notes. He doesn't have a scroll with him that he can open up to the prophet Joel. Because Joel, the 12 minor prophets all were in one scroll. Because, you know, they weren't like my heroes, Isaiah, that had his own scroll. These guys were all in the same scroll. So Peter would have had this big scroll and would have opened it up to the prophet Joel and quoted. No, he just quoted it.
Yeah.
He didn't have any kind of written material with him. And he proceeds to quote the whole passage.
That's one of the amazing things that the Holy Spirit does.
Yes.
Is right here, is that not having any of this in front of him.
Yeah.
He quoted it verbatim.
Yes, verbatim.
Yeah.
It says, this is what you're seeing here. And there's going to be visions. There's going to be dreams. It's going to apply to every socioeconomic class. It's going to be men and women. It's going to be young people and old people. This is an unlimited outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen it happen.
Yeah.
And as a result, there's going to be signs and there's going to be wonders and there's going to be these unbelievable manifestations. And salvation is going to come by calling on the name of the Lord. So they were fresh. I mean, this is, you know, 9 to 10 days after the ascension.
Yeah.
I mean, they saw Jesus, you know, 10 days ago.
Ascending into heaven. Yeah.
And they know now, they understand what all of that was that happened during Holy Week and Good Friday and Easter Sunday, which was the Feast of First Fruits, and everything that Jesus had told him, everything that, you know, what I always call the great Bible studies that were done, where it says Jesus started with Moses and the prophets and explained to them everything that was going on. Now they understood this, and it doesn't sound like there were any Gentiles there, but, you know, we'll ultimately get to the point where Cornelius and his family, the Samaritans, all these people get the Holy Spirit poured out on them.
Yeah.
And the Jewish believers say, hey, wait a minute. How come the Holy Spirit's poured out on them?
Yeah.
But so, you know, they're going to get this eventually, but they realize now that the Spirit's been poured out, there's going to be all these charisms are going to be manifested. And because Jesus said, well, you know, when the Spirit of truth comes, he's going to remind you of what I told you. Mm-hmm. He's going to testify about me. It's interesting that when they go out, when Peter goes out to preach, and we're going to read a little bit more of that at some point, you know, he preaches about Jesus. He's just been filled with the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
But he doesn't go out and preach about the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit comes to testify about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So the Holy Spirit tells you that Jesus lived, he died, he rose, death was conquered, sin was conquered, and this is salvation. And as we said last week, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit.
Yeah.
And so the Spirit's poured out, and these guys go out and start teaching about Jesus, because that's the function of the Holy Spirit.
Well, you bring up a very fundamentally important point, and that is that the Holy Spirit, that Peter's preaching about Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's not preaching about the Holy Spirit that they just received.
Right.
Because the Holy Spirit's there to remind them of all that Jesus taught them. So the Holy Spirit always comes back to who Jesus is.
Yes.
You know, so, and certainly it's, you know, it's important to understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's important to understand the role of the Holy Spirit and the function of the Holy Spirit and you know, what that is or who he is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also important to understand that the Holy Spirit doesn't testify to himself.
Right. Exactly. And Jesus mentions that in John 15 or 16,
yeah.
too. He's not the Spirit's not going to testify about himself. He's going to testify about me.
Right. Because Jesus is the source. Jesus is the new covenant. He's the source and he's the source and the summit. He ratified the new covenant in his own blood is what I want to say.
So
Peter stands up, quotes the prophet Joel, and then, do you want me to read the next portion of this, or do you got something else that you want to talk about?
This kind of apocalyptic stuff here that he quotes from Joel, you know, this is actually This is actually kind of a foretelling of what happened in 70 AD when the Romans destroyed not only the temple, but the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, it's also kind of an end time judgment thing,
right,
when Jesus comes back. But he also, you know, the plan of salvation is also explained because the Father sends the Son, because, you know, Paul writes that everything is reconciled to the Father through Jesus. So the Father sends the Son, and then the Spirit is poured out to talk about the Son, to enlighten people to who the Son is, so that people can be brought to the Father. And this is a whole Trinitarian plan of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter's kind of getting it now. Although he doesn't use the word Trinity,
mm-hmm,
he's kind of figured out what's going on here.
Yeah.
Because he says this power of the Spirit's going to be shown by signs and wonders. And this is all part of God's saving plan. It's all part of God's sovereignty. And this horrible thing that happened, you know, 52 days ago when they killed Jesus, actually is for everybody's good.
Yeah.
And now the Spirit is here, has been poured out to explain all that to us in a way that we understand it.
Yeah.
Woo.
True.
Yeah, so go ahead. This is good.
Okay. So Peter then says, and this is in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. You who are Israelites, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs, which God worked through him in your midst, as you yourselves saw or know. This man, delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God, you killed, using lawless men to crucify him. But God raised him up, releasing him from the thrones of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by it. For David says of him, I saw the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. Therefore, my heart has been glad, and my tongue has exalted. My flesh too will dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence.
Oof. Let's pause there for a minute.
Now he's quoting
Psalms. Now he's quoting Psalm 16.
What's going on here?
Yes, I mean, Joel, that was a coup right there. But now he goes to Psalm 16. And this is...
Is this the same Peter?
Same guy.
Same guy that was yes, intimidated by the servant girl.
Yes. And as you see in the Old Testament, where the Spirit's poured out on a prophet, and the prophet says, you know, thus saith the Lord, and he says something amazing.
Right.
You know that's the Spirit working through him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see things like the Magnificat, the Song of Mary.
Right.
It says, you know, she's filled with the Holy Spirit, and she says...
And she proclaims.
Yes. Zechariah. I mean, this isn't the way... And Zechariah, yeah, the Canticle of Zechariah. I mean, this isn't the way these people talked in their day-to-day life. You know, they were uneducated... Well, Zechariah was... I mean, Mary clearly was not an educated theologian.
Right.
But she says these amazing things because she's under the influence of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth, you know, in that great interaction at her house.
Yeah.
You know, Elizabeth's filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
So who am I that the mother of my Lord should come?
Yeah.
And it's, this is not how they normally talked.
Mm-hmm.
Peter didn't normally talk like this.
Yeah.
Peter didn't go around saying, remember what David said in Psalm 16? So here he quotes Psalm 16 verses 8 to 11, where, you know, it shows David as a type of Christ, as a prefigurement of Christ. You know, Jesus has the Father always before him.
Mm-hmm.
He knows he's at the right hand. He knows that joy's coming to him when his sacrifice is complete. You know, he suffers for the joy that's set before him. He's always looking forward to that. Jesus knows what's going to happen to him here and that he's going to be glorified. And that love leads to this suffering and death. And it talks about his body's not going to be corrupted, because he's not going to be in the grave long enough. The Jews believed that your body started decaying at the fourth day. This is why we find out Jesus waited 4 days before he raised Lazarus, so people would know this was a dead guy who was now decomposing.
Yeah.
But he says, Lazarus, come out. Here, you know, Jesus doesn't undergo corruption because he comes out on the third day. And Peter says, look, this is what you're experiencing here. David, as a prophet, wrote about all this. And then he goes on to talk about David, and we'll probably read that as we go along. But, you know, pretty soon the music will be starting. But Peter does this amazing teaching from Joel to the Psalm.
Yeah.
To these people who presumably know all this stuff, because after all, they're the ones making the pilgrimage. You know, you don't make a pilgrimage if you don't care. You know, I mean, these people probably knew these scriptures. Mm-hmm. And when Peter hammers this home, as we're going to see, they get blown away.
Yeah, the best is yet to come.
Yeah.
So in verse 29, Peter says, my brothers, one can confidently say to you about the patriarch David that he died and was buried, and his tomb is in our midst to this day. But since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that neither was he abandoned to the netherworld, nor did his flesh see corruption. God raised this Jesus. Of this we are all witnesses. Exalted at the right hand of God, he received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father and poured it forth, as you both see here. For David did not go into heaven, but he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Mm. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter and the other apostles, what are we to do, my brothers? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is made to you and to your children and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call. He testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons were added that day.
Wow.
Wow. What a harvest.
That's good street evangelism.
Yeah. Preach it, brother.
That's amazing. Yeah, even Paul didn't get that many in one day.
No.
And he's my hero. Yeah, I mean, this is quite an amazing thing. I mean, he talks about David, and he says, you know, David died, and we have his tomb right here. From where the upper room is in Jerusalem to where David's tomb is, you could hit it with a good, not even a real hard stone throw. Mm-hmm. So when he says, we have the tomb in our midst, he could point to the place. It's right outside the building.
Wow.
And he says, David's dead. And interestingly, this this quote that he does here, where David writes, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. You know, Jesus quoted this when the Pharisees asked him, you know, they're always trying to trap him, and they say, whose son is the Messiah?
Right.
And everybody says, David's. Mm-hmm. So he quotes this. So he says, well, how can David, if he's David's son, why does David call him Lord?
Yeah.
That's kind of weird. And so, this is the truth of the gospel, that although Jesus is biologically descended from David, he's also divine. And Peter basically says, he is the Messiah, and you guys missed it. And not only did you miss it, but you used sinful Gentile men to crucify him, to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, he's going to say, you crucified the author of life. And everybody goes, ah.
Yeah.
Whew. You know, what do we do now? I mean, it says they were cut to the heart. And I think many of you that are listening, and I know it happens to me, and I'm sure it happens to you, Steve, but, you know, you hear certain scriptures proclaimed, it cuts you to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you get like, I mean, it is actually getting a cut through your heart, where you go, oh, wow.
Yeah, the presence of God is like so palpable. And, you know, I don't want to say so real, because it is.
Yeah.
But it's, you feel, you know, you feel this cut to the heart, and you're like, ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. And you understand the presence of God is there. You know the power of God is there.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, you feel that mercy of God that is there, because God's always drawing us back to Himself. He's always trying to reconcile us back to Himself.
Yeah.
And fulfill the work that Jesus already did on the cross.
Yeah. And they were so cut to the heart. Now, can you imagine these guys the day before this saying to Peter, so what do we do now? they would have never thought about it.
Yeah.
I mean, Peter was a sorry-looking guy who's hiding in the upper room. But now, when he does this amazing, probably the greatest sermon ever preached, evangelically at least, they say to Peter, what do we do now? Because when you're cut to the heart, your question is, well, what do I do now? Yeah. I mean, I can't go along doing the same stuff I've been doing because now I've been cut to the heart.
Yeah, when you realize something of significance like this, you're cut to the heart. You basically stop in your tracks.
Yeah.
You go, okay, what do I do? What do I need to do here?
Yeah. Yeah. And you notice they didn't, now they were not real far away from the temple at this point. You notice none of these guys say to Peter, hey, you know what? We better go up to the temple. We better ask those priests up there. We better go see if we can get an appointment with the high priest and ask him, what do we do now? They say to Peter, what do we do now?
Yeah.
They ask Peter, who's, you know, seemingly a nobody, what do we do now?
Yeah.
Well, you have to repent and be baptized.
Yeah. Yeah. You bring up that's another good point, is that they don't go to the high priest.
No.
They don't go to the high priest for that year. They don't go to the elders. They don't go to the Pharisees.
Yes.
They ask Peter right there, what are we to do, brothers?
They ask a fisherman.
They ask a fisherman.
Not a theologian.
You know, and interestingly, and maybe not so interestingly, but this Feast of Pentecost, which is the great wheat harvest, now is a great harvest of souls.
Amen.
For the kingdom of God.
3,000 right here.
Yeah. So it's a different kind of harvest. It's a different kind of fishing that Peter's now doing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when they saw Jesus resurrected from the dead, they were in the, you know, they were in their boats, and Jesus says, you know, cast your net on this side, and they pick up 153 fish.
Yeah.
Now the Holy Spirit comes. Peter gives this exhortation.
Yeah.
They're cut to the heart, and 3,000 are added.
Yes.
To the body of believers that day.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a lot of people make the parallel of, in the wilderness, when the people made the golden calf, 3,000 people were killed.
Yeah.
And here, 3,000 people are saved.
Yeah.
That's kind of an interesting symmetry.
So is this the first Life in the Spirit seminar?
Yes. Yes. And they did it like in 20 minutes. Yeah. So there were at least 3,000 people listening. So we don't know. I mean, that's a pretty big audience. No microphones.
Yeah, that is.
He would have been just yelling it. But then, you know, we don't know if some of these people were the scoffers and they got totally penetrated by what Peter said.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if the scoffers left by then.
Right.
And these are the people willing to listen,
right.
You know, like the parable of the sower.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, this is quite a harvest.
Yeah.
3,000 people. I figured this took about 20 minutes.
Well, you had 120 in the upper room, basically 120 people in the upper room. So.
Yeah.
Within a day, you couldn't, you know, where are you going to meet at?
Yeah.
Hey, meet us in the upper room. Oh, wait a minute. That only holds.
And that was that 120 was the whole church.
Yeah. That was the whole church.
That was the whole church.
Now we're at 3,120.
Yeah. We're going to have to meet somewhere else. Yeah. We're going to have to get a school gym. No.
Is there any vacant buildings around?
Yeah.
It's made of the Starbucks.
So that immediate outpouring of the Spirit was instantly empowered Peter.
Yeah.
Instantly.
Yeah. Totally transformed.
Yeah. And even though they had been praying for 9 days before that, now as soon as the fire, the rushing wind and all this, he was out there preaching.
Yeah.
He didn't say, oh man, I better go home and think about what happened here and maybe next week I'll start preaching. Did it right that minute.
Exactly.
Is this the music already?
That is the music.
I hope you had another awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that as Peter exhorted the people of his day to receive the Messiah and to repent of their sins, let us too this day repent of our sins and receive the Holy Spirit through God's grace, through his Son, Jesus Christ. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.